WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Book critic Maureen Carrigan has been busy making her Best of 1994 list, and it's a hefty one. So if you want to solve some of your holiday gift-giving problems, or want to buy some books to secretly stuff in your own stocking, grab a pen and paper and start writing.
I know what I'm asking Santa for this Christmas, Japanese lessons. I've just been introduced to Inspector Imanishi Aitaro, a middle-aged Tokyo police detective who writes haiku poetry and cultivates bonsai plants. Trouble is, if I want to spend more time in the company of Inspector Imanishi, I'm going to have to do my own translating. Soho Press has just reprinted in paperback Inspector Imanishi Investigates, an extraordinary 1961 mystery by Seiku Matsumoto. Master crime writer Matsumoto, I've recently learned, revived detective fiction in Japan following World War II, when the government there had banned mysteries as unpatriotic. But though Matsumoto wrote over 450 books, only one mystery has been translated into English. This is an intolerable situation. It's like having only one Sherlock Holmes story. To make matters more painful, Inspector Imanishi Investigates has one of the most ingenious murder plots I've ever encountered in a detective story. Please, publishing moguls, give me a reason to rejoice in 1995 and order more Matsumoto mysteries translated pronto. Now let's summon up the ghosts of blissful books past from 1994. Jane Hamilton's novel, A Map of the World, continues to haunt me with its tale of a woman who gets distracted for a minute while babysitting, just long enough for the little girl she's minding to drown. The chill of doom also riffles through Howard Norman's strange novel, The Bird Artist. Set in an isolated fishing village at the turn of the century, The Bird Artist tells the story of an arranged marriage, a tortured love affair, and the murder of the local lighthouse keeper. Along with what seems like half the planet, I trembled at The Alienist, Caleb Carr's ghoulish tale of murder in old New York. In The Alienist, Henry James meets Hannibal the Cannibal. I was mesmerized by Thomas Mallon's Henry and Clara, the semi-true story of a couple whose lives were shattered by the Lincoln assassination. And Alan Hollinghurst's The Folding Star eerily brightened my November evenings. This is an elegant Gothic novel about a gay Englishman who travels to an ancient Flemish city to become the tutor of a couple of teenage boys. Two works of criticism coming from opposite camps of the culture wars also deserve mention. In his massive, maddening, marvelous book, The Western Canon, Harold Bloom prescribes a list of literary masterworks from Shakespeare to Angels in America to help us avert the end of civilization as we know it. Susan J. Douglas's Where the Girls Are joyously rescues feminist and anti-feminist icons like the Shirelles and Cricket Blake from the dustbin of pop culture history. Now, for a quick dip into the year's assorted biographies and autobiographies. My sentimental favorite was Brooke Kroger's Nellie Bly, the incredible life story of America's first daredevil female reporter. Shari Benstock's No Gifts from Chance gave me an appreciation of the gutsy dame lurking under Edith Wharton's ladylike exterior. I also admired You Can't Be Neutral on a Moving Train, history professor Howard Zinn's autobiography about his subversive politics of militant optimism. And Janet Malcolm's The Silent Woman about the clashing images of Sylvia Plath is simply the most astonishing and sinister reflection on the art of biography I've ever read. I've tried my best here, but this list doesn't even cover those books I liked a lot, with minor reservations, or those acclaimed but somehow still unread books gathering dust on my nightstand. Here's hoping for lots of snow days ahead so we can all catch up with our reading. you folks in the Sun Belt will have to invent your own excuse to stay home and read.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.